Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
One, two, three.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here in Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Magical Engineer is ready. Hey, Frank. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. We have a great show. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, some new antibiotics. What may that be like? Well, I know you know what an antibiotic is, but this is a new generation of antibiotics, so we're going to check this out. And we have a very brief quack report, FYI, Frank. And before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face a mine at a time because it's growing short. Today's devotional is in Colossians 3. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. All right, so that'll be the rapture. Some people believe in it, some people don't. I personally do. It coincides so perfectly with the Galilean wedding, which made a lot of sense to disciples at the Last Supper. So if you don't know about the Galilean wedding, look into it. You'll be amazed. Hey, Frank, it's not time for crackers, honey. Not yet. All right. All right, without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first and last up in the quack report is a new study on nanoparticles used in common food colorings and anti-caking agents. They say it's not good for your gut floras. This is some new research out of Cornell. They said they conducted a study, and a lot of your processed foods and even beverages and cereal, sports drinks, have these colorings and anti-caking agents in them. The study was conducted at the Brigham University and Cornell University, and these ingredients, they say, and these additives damage your gut health. The study did reveal that metal oxide particles in particular could be disrupting the health of your intestines. Details of the study did get published in the Journal of Antioxidants. So, additives. Try to go organic as you can. Make your own stuff. Try to avoid the prepackaged stuff as much as you can. And be well out there. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've gotten a lot of feedback lately on the newsletters from thepowerherbs.com. If you haven't signed up for those, they're absolutely free and they go out each week, so a lot of people are liking those. A lot of information that are very helpful to them out there. So great feedback. Some of the reviews are online at thepowerherbs.com. Just click on books and newsletters and sign up for free and get empowering information each week. And be well. That's what it's about. All right. We're going to be talking about this new antibiotic that was kind of discovered by accident, really. Science is, kind of struggling lately with drug-resistant bacteria for, some time. But doctors have been actually clamoring for a new drug to help fight bacteria. But in the meantime, your medical science area has been, they've had to resort to combining some very strong antibiotics together when they're dealing with a lot of resistant bacterial infections. Now, the University of California at Santa Barbara is saying that they have created a new antibiotic strong enough to kill the resistant bacterial strains, so we're going to check it out. So what is this new bug drug like, We talk about the superbugs all the time.
and the superbugs were created by antibiotic use, so overuse of antibiotics too. Well, scientists at the University of California released a report that their animal trials using the new antibiotic was successful in defeating the drug-resistant bacteria. Here's a quote from the report. It says, "We have a new class of antibiotics that have cured mice infected with bacteria deemed nearly untreatable in humans. Resistance to the drug was virtually undetectable." So with new medications, the list of side effects has, well, this one hasn't been published yet, so we don't know. It's still, you know, in the clinical trial phases. Once it goes through human trials, then it goes through approval trials, and then it goes to market. However, this research is, on this new class of antibiotics did get published in the February 2023 Journal of eBiomedicine. Now, we did learn that the drug disrupts many bacterial functions and killed all the bacteria it was tested on. But it was also reported that the drug resistance was low after prolonged drug exposure. However, the study really doesn't say how long that was, and it does not mention the bacteria they tested the drug on. So the discovery that the drug worked was described as serendipitous. Well, kind of like a shocker. It was like unexpected. And the reason it was is because they didn't start out looking for a new class of antibiotics in this study. Yeah, they were looking for bacteria batteries. That's right. The report said that the original study was intended to harness the energy compounds of the bacteria to be used as a microbial battery. So bacteria battery has the potential to be used by the military to charge cell phones in the field. So bacterial energy seems to be a big deal lately, and it's a specialty of the Kazon's group, which was formerly an oil refinery in Israel. So during the research, it occurred to the scientists that they may have stumbled upon a new antibiotic and started testing it. So they were really looking for a bacteria to have battery elements to it, and they come out with this. So what can we expect with the toxic level? Because we know some kind of antibiotics can be quite toxic. Well, normally antibiotics can be so strong that they can cause problems for the human body. So in the research at the University of California, the scientists thought their new antibiotic may not be a good candidate for human use. Here's a quote from the study. This is from Michael Mahan. He's a lead scientist at the University of California. He says, "When we sought to determine the chemical compounds of this antibiotic, it occurred to us that it may be too highly toxic for human use, similar to bleach." So most of the compounds, he said, were too toxic, but we did find one that was not toxic, and we tested it. The compound killed every bacterial pathogen that we tested, end of quote. So they found one they said wasn't too toxic. So what about the drug-resistant part? Well, according to their research, their new antibiotic is unique in that the bacteria failed to resist it, and most drug companies do not want to invest in new antibiotics due to the resistance factor. However, we don't know how long the scientists tested the antibiotic for drug resistance. And when penicillin came on the market, scientists knew drug resistance was going to happen. And as it was evident during their testing phase, just 4 years later, the resistance was enough for the scientists to search for new antibiotics. So just 4 years, penicillin became very, very resistant. Oh, Frank says it sounds like they're testing garlic. Well, garlic's very broad spectrum. You are correct about that, Frank. So, but they weren't testing garlic. They were testing a bacteria. So you got to remember, when they want to find an antibiotic, they look under rocks. And they look for bacteria in soil, and they test the soil to see if it's a candidate for an antibiotic. But, you know, pharmaceutical companies have kind of, you know, put the antibiotic research on the back burner because the resistance comes up too quickly, and it kind of hinders their market benefits. So they just kind of don't want to do that. They went into antivirals instead. So what we found out with penicillin is just 4 years after it hit the market, it became resistant. So I think it's real important to note that the resistance may be delayed or at such a low level that science does not think it is anything to be concerned about. But in time, what kind of resistance will we have? Here's a quote from Douglas Herdhoff, University of California, in the study. He said the key finding was that the bacterial resistance to the drug was virtually undetectable, and most drugs fail at this stage of development and do not progress to clinical use. Well, notice the word virtually undetectable. So it wasn't that it was zero resistant. There was some resistance, but not as much as what normal bacteria's when they're testing antibiotics run into. So what was the key difference with this thing? Well, what makes this new antibiotic so different? According to the report, when you're comparing it to penicillin, the compound action was very different. Most antibiotics, they say, are said to target germ function, while this new drug targets many functions at the same time. So it attacks the bacteria's membrane, which disrupts key functions. So the scientists hope that the broad-spectrum use of the drug will address antimicrobial-resistant pathogens, and the new antibiotic compound would need further study, of course, before emerging to clinical practice. But we have to remember the track record here, you know, because they're just like, a new antibiotic, and they see dollar signs, you know. And I have to admit, yes, penicillin antibiotics have saved some lives, but in the long run, what is the cost to all this? So far, scientific medicine has really not had a very good track record of monitoring and restricting antibiotics to avoid overuse and unnecessary use. Now, according to the CDC, there were over 1 million antibiotic prescriptions that were dispensed in 2014, and they estimated that approximately 30% of those prescriptions for outpatient treatment were very unnecessary. The percentage of antibiotic prescriptions that they concluded were the wrong kind of drug, the wrong dose, and the wrong duration of use. That was 50% what they found on antibiotic sales. According to the Oregon State University Medical Research Foundation, 40% of U.S. adults, 70% of children take at least one antibiotic per year, with 10% experience a very serious adverse reaction. And scientists have learned that antibiotic use has a broader impact on the human body than previously thought. So apparently, drug-resistant bacteria and weak immune systems is not the only downside to using antibiotics. So in the last 10 years, science is discovering the broader impact of antibiotic and what antibiotics offer. Here is Andrea Morgan, professor of Oregon State University College of Pharmacy. She said, just in the past 10 years, a whole new universe has opened up about the far-reaching effects of antibiotic use, and now we are exploring this. Nothing we find is going to surprise me at this point, end of quote. Well, they're finding that, you know, antibiotic use can put us at a disease risk. You know, we're taking antibiotics supposedly to, you know, kill a disease, but it can put us at a disease risk at the same time. According to the Oregon State University study that was published in the 2015 Journal of Gut, they found that when animals are given antibiotics, there is an unwanted impact on their friendly bacteria called microorganisms. So science has known for some time that antibiotics upset digestive floras in humans. However, the research helped explain in more detail what happens next, affecting the immune system, your blood glucose, your food absorption, obesity rates, stress, and behavior. So they also state that patients on long-term antibiotic therapy can experience far-reaching complications. So there's a cascade of problems if you're taking repeated courses or long courses of antibiotics. So according to the research testing just four of the most popular antibiotics, they discovered that the antibiotics deplete the gut floras, the friendly digestive bacterias, and in doing so, disrupt several important immune system functions. So according to Professor Morgan, this is just the beginning, offering about a third of the damage. So the antibiotics go on to destroy the digestive tissue called the intestinal epithelium, responsible for your nutrient absorption. And after that, there's cell death of the colon tissue, and disruption leads to significant changes in your cell DNA. So the mitochondria function is sacrificed, which leads to more cell death. The mitochondria are responsible for communicating to cells to promote energy and cell growth and regeneration. So this condition increases the patient's risk of bowel cancer and other diseases of which physicians are unaware of the cause. They aren't connecting the dots. So according to Dr. Morgan, antibiotic use encourages digestive dysfunction, such as diarrhea and ulcerative colitis. However, she adds, new research is revealing that antibiotics have a broad effect with regards to obesity, depression, immune system function, food absorption, allergies, asthma, sepsis, which is blood poisoning. So those are very serious conditions, and she sees the connection there. She goes on to say, when the host communication system gets out of balance, it can lead to a chain of seemingly unrelated problems. So this is why your doctors aren't connecting the dots that, you know, drug therapy, antibiotic drug therapy can put you at risk of a slew of issues. Now, the Society for General Microbiology published some research in 2010, and it appeared in the Journal of Microbiology, and they reported back then on antibiotics that caused not only bacterial resistance, but also resistant genes. They said, they stated that an individual on a short course of antibiotics, just 7 days, will have antibiotic-resistant genes in their system for a minimum of 2 years. Wow. Dr. Cecilia Jernberg, Swedish Institute of Infectious Disease, she says antibiotics have an impact on the normal microbial flora of the human gut and can alter the composition of the microbial populations, potentially leading to other illnesses. The consequences of this could be potentially life-threatening, end of quote. Yeah, you know, long-term, few years down the road, you're in a world of hurt. And then this is Justin Sonnenberg, PhD, Stanford University Medical Center. It is thought that our friendly bacteria serve as a kind of lawn that commands rich fertilizer, keeping the pathogenic weeds at bay. So a disruption in the inner microbial ecosystem or ecosystem somehow impairs the immune response, and our defense falters, and shortly thereafter, a course of antibiotics tend to begin. So they put you back on the drug that's causing the problem. So research done by the BBC reported in the Nurses' Health Study that patients who are taking antibiotics for longer than 15 days increase their risk of colon polyps, by about 36%. And patients on long-term antibiotic treatments, they said, increase their risk by 69%. So the Journal of Digestive Diseases and Sciences published similar findings in 2016, where your antibiotic use increases the risk of colon rectal cancers. Whew. I don't think that's on the bottle when your doctor gives it to you, right? You're probably taking it for sinusitis or some other type of bacterial infection, and you didn't know it would be putting you at risk of something like that. And here's the other thing. Antibiotics aren't things you probably didn't know they were in. According to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, some vaccines contain antibiotics. So some people are allergic to certain antibiotics, and this can be a serious concern. So those that are receiving a vaccine containing antibiotics can experience hives, swelling of the throat, low blood pressure, anaphylactic shock, that kind of stuff. So the common antibiotics that are in some vaccines are neomycin, polymyxin, B, streptomycin, and gentamicin. Now, the vaccines that are exposed to the antibiotics that have them in them include your MMR, your mumps, measles, rubella, also the MMRV, your mumps, measles, rubella, and bacilla chickenpox version, your meningitis B vaccine, your chickenpox vaccine, of course, zoster shingles vaccine, and rabies, as well as your influenza vaccines they roll out each year, polio, your DPT, your diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and also versions that include polio and hepatitis B, as well as your hepatitis A and B vaccinations. So they are all going to have antibiotics in them. So let's hope that the research on the new class of antibiotics is, you know, conducted appropriately and not hastily rushed out to market using the general population as a clinical test. Even so, the standard antibiotics that may have been tested prior to clinical use are just recently proving to be a problem. So don't get all excited. You know, tread carefully on new antibiotics being rolled out and what that may mean down the road for you, because you have choices. So the more that we learn about the wonder drugs called antibiotics produced by your drug companies, the more we find them to have a downside to their use. Therefore, it is even more important that we exercise our options, maybe use some antibacterial herbals and cleanse away pharmaceutical residues and heavy metals with herbal organ cleansing, because those things can give disease a foothold, the heavy metals and all those residues. And, you know, spring's a really good time. It's an excellent season, really, to do your organ cleansing, and you won't have the stress of the holidays, you won't have the cold and flu season to deal with, and you won't have a distraction yet of a summer vacation, so you can get it done and out of the way and then enjoy your summer. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They are specialists in organ cleansing and immune support formulas. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. You want to check out their website. It's thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. You didn't know you had these tools. You didn't know you had these options, but now you do. And it's empowering. So get a free catalog. They offer that. The new catalog is not in yet. So you will get the standard catalog that they have in stock at the moment. The new one we expect next month. So thepowerherbs.com, and if you're on the website, do sign up for the online newsletters. They're absolutely free and full of empowering information that you can share with family and friends. So thepowerherbs, 866-229-3663, and get empowered out there. Oh, I see by the clock we're going to have to take a break. But, of course, you know what? On the other side of this break is going to be more empowering information, so you don't want to go anywhere. You want to stay right where you are. We'll be right back with more.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Frank. Oh, Frank's got new bumper, and it's bouncy. Thank you, Frank. Awesome stuff. Okay, we are going to be talking about, I'm going to delve into the ancients, I think, for a little bit here. Some ancient secrets, ancient sources of medicines that still work today, because guess what? Your nutrition and herbs are timeless, and we can utilize a lot of these things. And I still remember hearing about a report during the Civil War when the southern region was cut off and they couldn't get supplies, and so they kind of recruited some herbalists to come and forage in the forest for medicines to help, you know, heal the wounded. So, you know, herbs are useful all the time. And so we're talking about some ancient resources here. A lot of scientists and researchers now are turning to a lot of the ancient medical texts, looking for some herbal medicines that they may be able to turn into a prescription drug. Yeah, they're looking at the folk remedies, the ones they used to poo-poo and, you know, kind of criticize and say worthless. Well, it's not so worthless anymore. They're like these little gems, and they're finding out to their astonishment how valuable they are. So, you know, strap yourself in. Science prefers to take herbs and turn them into individual derivatives to, you know, make their science-based medicines and call them drugs and patent them and all that. Well, in Asian countries, about 80% of the population there are using herbs for medicine. Now, China, the scientists there, they're turning to your herbal compounds, which make about 40% of the Chinese pharmaceutical market. And the Chinese government spends about $1 billion each year on traditional medicine research. So about 70 hospitals in China, or 15% of the hospitals there, use herbal medicines to treat patients, while the rest of the hospitals are using Western medicine. So the West does not really embrace China's herb treatments or products, due largely to the concern of quality. So the European Union, they make it illegal to sell traditional Chinese herbal treatments there, which are not registered by the European Union traditional health medicine registration scheme. And so as China wrestles with, you know, improving quality standards, other countries, though, are keeping their ear to the ground of what healing miracles may be discovered in medicinal herbs. So when scientists and pharmaceutical companies and researchers are discovering what they're finding out is your herbs have multiple compounds, and this makes it difficult for them to isolate the compound, the key compound that they want to perform a specific task that they're looking for. So an ancient herb formula of just two herbs can present a molecule complexity situation for them. By the way, European Union doesn't like complex herbal formulas. They only like single herbal formulas. They don't like the complex kind. So what science is discovering is herbs have lots of ingredients and vitamins and minerals and amino acids and things. And it makes for hundreds of compounds. So in order to expedite their search, Chinese researchers have constructed this computer algorithm to screen large collections of herbal extracts and to try to isolate the pure compound in them, which could have hundreds of molecules, and they can test those cell lines. So the problem that they face is that they're focusing tightly on individual compounds that they may miss the bigger picture. So compounds can have a synergistic effect when paired together. And separating them, separating those compounds can produce a whole different effect altogether there. So modern medicine does the same thing when they're treating a specific area of the body that has a disease instead of maybe the entire system. Yeah. And a good example would be aspirin. When they made aspirin, they made it out of salicin, and they extracted salicin from plants, willow bark and meadow sweet. And they were trying to find an anti-arthritic medication, and they kind of chose the stronger alkaloid of salicin. And when they did that, they left the buffer alkaloids behind. They just wanted to isolate the salicin. And when they did that, it became acetylsalicylic acid, which is very strong. So if aspirin were to be discovered today, it would need a prescription. It wouldn't be sold over the counter. So when you take salicin and you isolate it like that, you can patent it for sure. But it has a different effect in the body. It can suppress immune system by lowering fever, and it can create hemorrhaging or bleeding or thinning of the blood issues. So, but salicin, when it's in its whole food state, doesn't do that. In its whole food state, it lowers inflammation, reduces inflammation, and lifts pain. So get rid of inflammation and you get rid of pain. So it's a very gentle effect, but it's doesn't risk the filtering organs like kidneys and liver like your other over-the-counter medications do. So what the scientists and doctors in China have been doing is they're looking at herbs that improve digestion to see if they can use something to relieve side effects for, let's say, chemotherapy. Now, perhaps they should really look at herbs that maybe would destroy cancer and then skip the chemotherapy. But they don't think along those lines. So the real cures really cannot justify the cost medicine demands to keep operating. So this is why, you know, Yeah. So the researchers in China received funding from the National Institute of Health and the United States to develop an experimental drug for the purpose of making chemotherapy more tolerable. So we sent them $1 billion, Frank, for that. So in order to patent an herb compound, you have to isolate it, you have to alter it from its original state, and this is how they operate. They strain out a gnat and they swallow a camel. See? Makes no sense. But, well, it makes perfect dollars and cents, but you know what I mean. Here is a quote. This is Carl Washkin-Tism. He's a neurobiologist with Life Science Division of Hong Kong University. And he said there are around 100,000 herbal formulas going back 2,000 years that can be used to treat a range of illnesses from depression and insomnia to osteoporosis. Traditional herbal medicine is a human treasure, and it should be shared with the world. It also should be protected. You know, it shouldn't be regulated to where you can't get it. So, then let's go to the shipwreck, which I don't know if a shipwreck can show you about an ancient medicine, but here we go. In 2002, a shipwreck off the coast of Tuscany in Italy revealed some interesting secrets. Artifacts that were recovered about 2,000 years old, they found some medicinal artifacts, I guess that were perfectly preserved in the water. So they found a mortar and pestle. They found a bleeding cup, a surgical hook and tins, and dry and intact green tablets. So these were the only known medicine samples that they could find of antiquity. So the Department of Antiquities of Italy released a sample of tablets to be analyzed by Dr. Robert Fischner from the Smithsonian Center for Conservative and Evolutionary Genetics. So everyone really wanted to know, hey, what's in the green pill, right? What is that? Well, is it plants? Well, what is it? It was an ancient supplement, for crying out loud. That's what it was. So the scientists tested the tablet. It had plant DNA. It was degraded a bit. However, the plant fibers were well preserved. They extracted what DNA they could from the sample, and it compared it to the DNA tested in the GenBank, which is a genetic database that's operated by the National Institute of Health. And what they found was they found traces of carrot, parsley, alfalfa, celery, onion, radish, yarrow root, hibiscus, and sunflower. So the tablet was held together with a little bit of clay, kind of the glue. So a collection of these things, researchers cross-referenced these ingredients in the ancient Greek text, the Hippocratic Collection, if you will, thought to have been written by Hippocrates, and they concluded that their ancient supplement was used to relieve digestive disorders that sailors were known to have. So there is speculation that the tablets would have been maybe dissolved in a liquid and then you would drink it, such as putting it in wine, vinegar, or water. And if they can recover more of these ancient medicinal artifacts, they're going to give us more clues as to what the ancient physicians of the world 2,000 years ago influenced the trading routes and the health and welfare of many sailors. I think that's interesting. And what happened before we had the Greek physicians? The Greek physicians are kind of like, you know, rock stars in the ancient world, really, because they did such an excellent job of keeping people well that they almost went out of business. What'd you say, Frank? Frank says maybe the English sailors carried limes. Well, yeah, I hope so. For, you know, all that kind of vitamin C deficiency, scurvy. So before the Greeks became known for their healing knowledge, there were the Egyptians, Also, Homer, in 800 BC, wrote the Odyssey, that the Egyptian physicians were extremely skilled, and more than any other culture. So much of what is known about the Egyptian healing arts is through later reports in antiquity. Very few Egyptian texts on health have been found. It is known that the famous Greek healers such as Galen and Hippocrates studied at the temple of Amutep, and their writings acknowledge the Egyptian medicine as a great contributor. So the Rosetta Stone of 1822 shed a lot of light on the Egyptian hieroglyphics and some medical treatments written on papyrus. Now, some of these texts were instructions for Egyptian doctors, you know, to perform a certain surgery. Other texts that they wrote were about formulas for prescriptions and also how to diagnose a disease or set broken bones, write medical reports, and a discussion even on tumors. So a majority of their healing arts included ailments, amulets made from animals, minerals, vegetables, and fruits. And the ancient world of these healing arts also included, obviously, alchemy, spells, black magic, the Egyptian priests, architects, and physicians called the healers Imhotep. So now, there was a class of healers in Egypt. They also wrote about King Tut, the boy king. It was said that they think when they scanned him, he had an injury to his leg. So they think he fell off his horse or his chariot when it was in motion, and he got a complex compound bone fracture. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's believed that he got an infection, and then he died from sepsis, blood poisoning from the infection. So a lot of people, I think, didn't they say, Frank, that they thought the King Tut was assassinated or something? That he had some sort of force blunt trauma to the head or something? Well, he had some sort of trauma. He had a broken leg. And so he didn't last long. So the Egyptians seemed to be very interested also in the brain, the cranial, the development of cranial sutures. And they analyzed cranial and spinal fluids even and wrote about that. So medical scholars feel that the health treatments provided by the ancient Egyptian physicians surpassed the medical skill of Hippocrates, who lived 1,000 years later. So, magic or no, they were supposedly good surgeons and things like that. They invented the earplugs, the things they put in kids' ears to drain the fluid. They invented those. Yep. Now, your ENT did not. The Egyptians did. The Egyptians invented this very thinly, it's like a scalpel, but it's small and thin. And they would put it into the ear canal and puncture the eardrum so that the fluid would drain. So if you had a really bad earache, that's what they would do. And they knew that the eardrum would grow back, but you don't want to do it too often because then you get scar tissue on the eardrum. So the ear tubes that they put in kids today really came from that concept. I find that fascinating. Now, the medical hierarchy of the ancient Egyptian world went as follows. You had the chief medical officer, you had the superintendents, you had the inspectors, and then you had the physicians. Physicians were down on the totem pole here. So they thought a lot about building and construction, obviously. So it appears that the coroner, or your medical examiner, was higher than the physician, because, they were into that, mummification stuff. So, so the coroner was a little higher than your physician. It's interesting. And so then also after that, we're detectives, law enforcement, but your physicians are way down here on the totem pole after all those folks. So this was a culture that was kind of obsessed with the afterlife, and it kind of makes sense that the guy that sends the body to be mummified would be the most important in their culture. And by the way, the name for the Egyptian physician in the ancient world was Wabo. And the first recorded female physician in Egypt was Lady Presohet, 2400 BC. So in the ancient Egypt world, a proctologist was known as the shepherd of the anus. How do you like that? Now the Egyptians did forge a lot of paths in the long history of medicine. So they were the first to discover that the heart was involved in the blood supplying the body with life. And they were the first to discover vascular medicine. And they were also knowledgeable about renal function, your kidney function, and kidney disease. So we have enough research on that to know those areas. But, the mental health area was also written about, okay? And they treated depression and dementia back then. So nothing seemed to scare them. They did it. And they were also known as fertility specialists, dentists, ophthalmologists, and oncologists of the ancient world. So they had specialties back then. And some of the entries, quite fascinating and also entertaining. One was like half an onion and the froth of a beer. They were big beer manufacturers, the Egyptians. So half an onion, and you want to take the froth, the foamy stuff from your beer. They consider that a delightful remedy against death. What do you think, Frank? Onion and beer. Now, the Egyptians had their own version of Sirpa Ipecac, to empty the stomach. There were treatments to remove parasites, and they still use those today. The Egyptians also used many herbs and spices as their medicines and included cumin, fenugreek, and coriander as some of their standard herbs. They were kind of the staple herbs. So the ancient texts would list some of these herbs and their health benefits, like sesame, they say, will soothe asthma symptoms. It's interesting. Mustard, they said, relieves chest pains. Mint helps digestion. Turmeric would help close wounds. Poppy seeds? Can't get those, really. Poppy seeds for headaches and insomnia, and onion for colds and heart problems. So the American medical physicians today practice some of these ancient healing arts, including alchemy. Did you know that, Frank? Yeah. Alchemy was practiced with supernatural incantations, metals, crystals, amulets, you know. So it was kind of anything but scientific, basically. So from this ancient culture of witchcraft called alchemy, we have vaccines, dangerous ingredients, which include heavy metals, mercury, thimerosal. So heavy metal treatment is in your vaccination. Yep. So that's alchemy. That's, pharmakia or witchcraft. That's the ancient term for witchcraft is pharmakia. And that came from ancient Babylon and the ancient world of Babylon. So Dr. Anthony Norris, he was the former FDA's vaccine division chief in 76. He confirmed that there is no scientific evidence to support the claims of vaccine therapies. So he had access to all the raw clinical data, which, you know, you can't even get today, you know. So the ancient world teaches us a lot. If, you know, history can teach you a lot. There are some things that you can use that are beneficial, and there's some things that you want to stay away from. So the circassian symbol, which, you know, our medical establishment here in the United States uses the staff with the snake, also a symbol of the WHO. Those are witchcraft or witch doctor symbols from Babylon. Yeah, going all the way back. So how they got this snake on a staff thing was they would line people up either on cots or on the floor that were ill, and the witch doctor would walk up and down the aisles with the poisonous snake, and if the snake bit you and you didn't die, you were healed. Yeah. So, you know, this thing about, you know, snake venom in the COVID shot kind of doesn't surprise me. All right, so we got some, let's look at some of these things in the ancient secrets that may be quite the treasure of all secrets. So our allopathic or modern medicine establishment has some secrets of its own. The basis of your modern medicine was created in pagan witchcraft dated back to the Babylonian Empire. So your AMA physicians practice alchemy, and they base the treatment of vaccines on theory of like cures like. So if you want more detailed research on the foundation of your modern scientific medicine, you might want to contact Dr. True Ott. He has a DVD on the history of medicine. You can go to Mother Earth Minerals or give them a call at 866-989-9876. So he actually traced back the modern medicine to ancient Babylon, which was fascinating. 20 years ago, I kind of realized the world's best kept secret was in its herbal medicines. So it isn't how the pyramids got built, or that Stonehenge was an ancient health spa, or any of those things. But the best-kept secret really of the ancient world and modern world today is that, you know, herbs work, and they don't cause toxicity. They don't have a side effect. And so the ancients used them, but then we went into other things with regard to the Babylonian Empire. So the power of herbs is incredible. Even science is having trouble dissecting the compounds so they can make drugs out of it. Because, like I said, if you isolate God's chemistry, you're going to get a totally different effect. So go with the whole plant nutrition, because that's the chemistry God put together with the synergistic effects, so everything works properly in the human body. So once you start, you know, changing God's copyright, if you will, you're going to run into some issues. So I go for the whole food supplementation, and that's what we base our whole product line on at Apothecary Herbs, so we don't take anything away that God put in there. So if you want a free catalog and you want to be empowered, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They'll send you a catalog. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. And if you're on the Power Herbs, do sign up for the newsletters. They go out each week, the American Survival and Health Quest, and they will empower you. But I am out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.